Although Cook County is a wonderful place to raise a family, there are challenges. Limited options for full-time living wage jobs, limited housing stock, and then there's childcare. There seems to be a consensus among government officials and employers that there's a need for childcare on the North Shore, and some efforts are underway to try to meet that need. It is complicated, but it appears that our local YMCA is part of the solution. WTIP reached out to Cook County Community YMCA Executive Director Emily Marshall to learn more about the wise piece of the puzzle. Thanks for coming in, Emily.
Thank you so much for having me.
All right. So there are childcare options available at our local YMCA?
Yes, we do have childcare. We've actually been providing childcare in a variety of different ways since 2015. So back in 2015, we opened what at the time was an employer-based daycare program, and that's actually a special county licensed mixed age option. It's similar to what an in-home license would be, but out of a commercial space. And that was instantly full in 15 with 60 kids on the waiting list. And wow. So then in 2016, we opened a specialty infant and toddler program. And that again was a county licensed family program. It was considered a collaborative program because we worked with community education to get that program up and running. And it was out of a converted teacher lounge, and it was in the shared hallway of the YMCA in the school. And that again was instantly full with a wait list. At the time, infants and toddlers were the huge need. So then in 17, we continued to kind of keep exploring options of what we could do. We looked at the Tom Tobota site. We were talking with Cascade Vacation Rentals with their new building and the possibility of doing some childcare on the West End. Looked at churches, different spaces in the school, and kind of simultaneously at that time learned about Cooperation Station needing some help. So we were able to actually provide some assistance care there and then open a fourth site as well in the basement of that location. So at one point, we were operating four different family childcare licensed programs in the county. And, you know, we saw capacity go from 100% at all of those sites to about 70%. So there's always kind of this balance of, do you have enough? Do you have too much? And really, that was kind of an unusual situation. The county and the state hadn't really ever seen an organization operating for family childcare sites, not in homes. You know, it was kind of unusual. So they were really encouraging us to become a childcare center, which is licensed through the state. And so we did begin that process and just wrapped up that process in March. So now we have all of our programs on site under one roof. It's a licensed childcare center through the site with a capacity of 42 a day. We serve infants through the first day of kindergarten, so 6 weeks, all the way through their first day of kindergarten. So we have an infant room for 6 weeks to about 15 months. A toddler room is 16 to 33 months. And then our preschool room is 33 months to the first day of kindergarten.
All right. And there's space there to
yes,
do that.
You know, space physically or do we have openings?
Space physically to do it.
A lot of the multi-purpose space that was designated in the beginning was converted to childcare space. We were using one room as a teen room, which, as people know, unfortunately, when you have teenagers playing with equipment unsupervised, that got trashed pretty quickly. And then we kind of converted it to gymnastic space for a while, but it wasn't the best for that either. And there was just this huge need for childcare. And the council, you know, as part of our strategic plan to continue to be committed to helping close the gaps in childcare. And so we converted that space to the preschool room. Kind of our kids club space was converted to a toddler room. And we do still have kids club available for members in the evenings and weekends in that space. And then the teacher lounge, we weren't really using for anything. And so we converted that teacher lounge to the infant space. So it's all kind of right in the same area, kind of connected, and it works out really great.
And there are some issues though with kind of the logistics of it all, like set up for little kids and so forth. So you're working on doing some renovations?
Yes. So in terms of licensing standards, we were able to meet the requirements to be a center, but there are some projects that we're working on right now to get it more in line with best practice. So really, the preschoolers right now, they're sharing a bathroom with kind of the middle school, and it's right across the hallway. So it has been working and serving our needs. But ideally, you want child-sized toilets, child-sized sinks, drinking fountains, things like that right in your classroom so that you reduce transition time and kids can potty train better. And so that is in the works. We were ready to do that project this summer and moved all of our programs down to the kindergarten and preschool rooms, but got held up with a lot higher of a bill than we were anticipating for that project. And so just now finishing up some loose ends, getting some more funding for that. And hopefully that project will be an early 2019 project.
And how many staffers do you have involved in childcare?
Right now, we have a full-time childcare director, and then we have a full-time toddler teacher, two full-time preschool teachers, a full-time infant teacher, and then a full-time person that kind of floats between the groups, making sure that everybody gets stays off and breaks and things like that. So we have six full-time childcare providers, and then another that also works in there, but she splits her time between early learning and the after-school program. So about seven, and then a handful of substitutes and part-timers that help out.
And substitutes, is something that is a problem with the home daycare situations.
Yeah, absolutely. They don't have subs. Imagine that'd be very challenging to get sick or want to go on a vacation. And so, there has been some talk at the Early Childhood Coalition about how do we creatively solve that, but it's a really complex issue with, just then they become an employer or the liability, you know, who's really liable during a time where a substitute is providing care. And so definitely something that's being discussed. But at our site, at least, we've got some subs on board and things like that.
There are people trained that can step in. And
yeah.
Okay. And now, is this unusual for the YMCA to be involved in daycare?
It's actually not. It's not unusual at all. Most people don't realize that the Y is actually the leading provider of childcare in the U.S. So nationally, the Y serves more than 500,000 children at nearly 10,000 sites across the country. So it's the largest not-for-profit childcare entity in the nation. And so, no, it's not unusual at all. The Duluth YMCA, which we are a part of, they operated a childcare center in Duluth, and they have the construction of the Hermantown YMCA right now, and that's going to have a huge childcare center in it as well. So it's actually very typical of a YMCA, and it's so in line with our mission and our core values and our focus areas, which are youth development and healthy living and social responsibility. So it's actually very in line with what YMCAs offer.
And I did not know that they, so that's interesting. So are there some resources there through the broader YMCA program for, you know, like how to do things?
Yeah, I mean, YUSA has a great central website and resource for Ys that are offering these types of programs, but tons of training opportunities online. They do recommend certain types of curriculum that there's support for. There's been grants for food access and grants for trainings and things like that. So yes, the Y is very supportive and very involved in childcare and early learning.
So then one of the big questions, is this enough? You know, you've expanded the program at the Y, and you talked about that huge waiting list earlier in the process. How are things looking now?
Yeah, so right now we've got a capacity of 42 a day, and we're not at full capacity. So we just reopened the infant room this week, actually, and we do still have one infant opening and then a toddler opening. But our preschool room is at full capacity. So we're pretty close to full, but we actually have no wait list right now. We just got everybody on the wait list into a spot. And so for the first time, it feels great to say that we don't have a wait list. And we even have two openings for infant toddlers. So if people need an infant or a toddler spot, now is a great time to get enrolled.
Well, and it doesn't seem, I mean, two spots is great. It's good that there's not this waiting list, but it does seem like there could be, you know, next week, five kids.
Oh, sure. And it's constantly been fluctuating. You know, as long as I've been here, we've seen it go up and down and up and down. And, you know, we saw a study recently, I think it was in 2015, that we had that huge baby boom. And then that's kind of where all of this attention started to just the general movement gained momentum, and people started recognizing the crisis, probably a little bit before that, too. But then there was some recent years where there was only about 30 or so born. So it's constantly in flux. And I can imagine that that would be challenging for an in-home provider whose sole income is based on having those spots filled. And so we've been, at least with our model, a little bit flexible. You know, it's not our only source of income. And really, actually, it doesn't bring us revenue. People kind of have that misconception sometime that, you know, we should be flush with cash because we're offering all of these programs and have more members and things like that. But really, the child care programs in itself, and that includes school age child care, it really loses about $70,000 a year in order to do this. And, you know, and we wish we would be able to pay better, and we would, we wish we'd be able to charge less and have just, you know, be able to offer these kids the world. And so so that's one kind of common misconception, is that this program actually generates us revenue, which it doesn't. And so, but we've been fortunate that we have a model that if enrollment is lower, we don't need as many providers, or we can kind of merge some things or reassign staff. And so that's been nice about that model.
So you see this, you think this is going to be the why the Cook County Community Y is going to continue? It looks like it's kind of running well now.
Yes, absolutely. As I mentioned earlier, it's been one of the top priorities on our strategic plan for the past several years. And we're just wholeheartedly committed to continuing to offer this service and make sure that it's available for families in our community.
All right. I've been speaking with Emily Marshall, Executive Director of the Cook County Community YMCA. And we'll talk to Emily again about the future of child care in Cook County in another interview. Thanks, Emily, for coming in.
Thank you so much.